Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Quarter Footy Podcast. My name's Luke, I've got my mate Dieter here, and we are here to talk all things footy for the 2023 season. Right now, we are currently going through our 2023 season previews, where we look at each club and we have a little chat about how we think the year will go for them. We're looking at some key indicators for each team, we're looking at the ins and outs from last season. We give a general prediction on what we think they will be doing in 2023, what the club should be aiming for, and then we take a bit of a dive into some individual players who might be ready to take the next step, or some players that might be under a bit of pressure going into this year. Today's episode will be focusing on two teams who, well, I don't know. One of them is pretty good. One of them is a bit of a question mark. I don't know if I consider them not good. I don't think I consider them good. We've got St Kilda and then, of course, Sydney. Sydney, obviously, grand finalist last year. Unfortunately, got a bit of a pumping in that game against Geelong. And St Kilda just have been a bit underwhelming as of the last few years. Dieter, any thoughts before we get stuck in?
Yeah, two very different teams. Sydney on the rise, having might have exceeded expectations making the grand final last year. And St Kilda, I feel like they're a bit of the lost boys from Peter Pan, where I don't know where they're at. I don't know what their list is doing. They're like a patchwork quilt where they've got so many different players from other teams, and they're drafting's a bit questionable, but we'll dive deeper into the two teams from now.
Alrighty, well, we'll go straight into the Saints. Firstly, we'll look at some of the ins, and they've brought in two players with some AFL experience. They've brought in Zane Cordy from the Bulldogs to bolster that back line of theirs, and they've brought in Liam Stocker from Carlton. Obviously, neither of them are superstars. I don't think they're going to improve the list too much, but there's some AFL experience coming in the doors through those two. And then with pick 10, they got a really exciting prospect who I'm very excited to see how he goes in the AFL, and that is Mateus Philippou. If you listen to our last episode, we mentioned that we do this Supercoach Keeper League. I picked up Mateus Philippou with pick 4. In our Supercoach draft this year. So I'm a big fan of him and what I've seen of his juniors. And I know you are too, so you can have a chat about him in a sec. Just before I hand it over to you, I will quickly highlight some of the outs. And there's some pretty big names that have left the Saints. A lot of experience walking out the door. They've lost Ben Long to Gold Coast, Jaron Geary, Dan Hannabury, Dean Kent, Paddy Ryder, Dara Joyce, and Jared Leanett, all guys who have a fair bit of AFL experience, all leaving. And honestly, it's not until I read out all those names where I realised just how much AFL experience has walked out of the door at St Kilda. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting watch, and that'll test their depth for sure. Dieter, what do you think of that?
Yeah, their outs are pretty startling when you read out the names. Not maybe household names, but very important to St Kilda and the progression that they've made. Jaron Geary, obviously a former captain of the club. Dan Hannabury, when he's on song, was one of the best midfielders in his day, but unfortunately injuries have taken a toll on his body. And Paddy Ryder, I think, missed a fix-it, really, having crossover from Port Adelaide and just really improved their list. Like, he was such an incredible ruckman and key cog to St Kilda making the finals in 2020, I believe. And he'll be really missed in that midfield just with his experience and even goal sense when he was resting forward. But in terms of their ins, I'm really impressed, I will say this, with their recruiting in the draft. Mateus Philippou, by all reports, is the next Bontempelli. And if you're getting the next Bontempelli, I think your club will be very excited. And he's quite a young player. He was born in late December, so he's Got huge development for those who follow the draft and are excited for young players walking in the door. Given his sort of age status, we're going to see such an improvement in him in his first few seasons of football. And we don't really know where the sky... We don't know where he will finish with his career, but I think he'll be very high up there. And some other names probably gone unnoticed was James Van Ness, a key defender, Ollie Houghton, a midfielder, and Isaac Keeler, I believe. He was an Adelaide father-son prospect, but they didn't want him, or an academy player. And he's a forward midfielder, a forward ruckman who I think will play, whether it's this year or into the future, and might help out Marshall in the ruck duties. So I was really impressed with their off-season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an interesting one. It's clearly a sign that they're going towards the future when they've gotten rid of so many guys who have brought a lot of experience into this team. The one thing I will say with St Kilda and the players that are leaving is St Kilda, I think, have always been a team that can beat anyone on their day. And they're always a team that, even when you don't think they're very good, they can always just randomly sneak into the eight. I really do think they've all been that team for a while. That being said, I thought maybe if there was ever a team outside of the, you know, quote-unquote top eight contenders that could make it, in my head, I did think St Kilda might have been that team. But looking at those outs, these are sort of middle-of-the-road guys who, although they're not superstars, those are the kind of guys who get teams into that position of being, you know, that eighth best team in the league. So it's a really interesting off-season. Hopefully it works out. Mafilipu at pick 10, though, in the draft was absolutely a great get.
Yeah, and something that we didn't mention as well in terms of key ins is the coaching department that St Kilda has brought together. Ross the Boss is back at his second tenure at the club, and I think that's a huge win for them. I think that gives the supporters some faith that St Kilda are really paying attention in who they pick as their new coach. Unfortunate for what happened to Ben Ratton. But I think Ross the Boss is a great get, as well as some ex-legends at the club. Brendan Goddard, Lenny Hayes, and Robert Harvey have all come from all four corners of the football landscape and have returned to their home base and are helping in the midfield development and, I believe, forward line as well. And I think those four ins in those players that are now, or those people that are now coaching, I think that is really exciting, and I'm excited to see what Ross does with the list.
Absolutely, great point you make. Looking at my general prediction for the year, I have Saints finishing in the sort of 11th to 14th range. I think their list, even with the outs, I still think their list is a fair bit better than sort of the bottom three or four clubs. I don't see them falling much lower than 14th. As for what they should be aiming for, I'm thinking as the season starts, I think they are a team that should maybe aim for the top eight. I don't think it's very realistic, but I think aiming for the top eight isn't the worst idea for them. Definitely what they should be doing, though, in terms of ignoring results, is getting the bodies right of some of their younger players and getting some games into them as early as they can, I guess, without really damaging them too much. But yeah, top eight is definitely something they could aim for. I'm thinking they miss out, though. I think 11th to 14th is where they'll fall.
Yeah, that's a good point there. I think it's not the worst for Ross to have a year or two outside of the top eight, just to get that game plan up and running, get the personnel right across the board, you know, get some help for Max King in the forward line, shore up the midfield, get some games in your Philippus and a few other players that we might mention a bit later in players to take the next step. But I think They've got a list with some great foundation players, and I think into the future, St Kilda might have a bit more to give in terms of fighting for that top eight spot. So it's not the worst going for the draft. For those who are absolute footy fanatics like us two, by all reports, next year is, quote-unquote, another super draft. And if you're finishing with a top 10 pick in that draft, I think you'll be getting some really exciting players. And it might be worth not making the top eight just for one of those players to then help boost you forward in the two or three years after that.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I forgot to mention, actually, just a bit earlier when we were talking about Philippou, is you mentioned how he was one of the younger players in the draft, you know, born late December. And it might sound a bit silly for those who don't really follow the draft, as you know, he's technically the same age as every other player. But for those who follow the draft, you will see that these guys who are very much on the younger end of 18 when they are drafted, they do usually take an extra season to get into it, because in that 18th year, bodies just go through such an incredibly large growth spurt, especially given the load that their bodies take. So I did want to mention that, in case it sounded a bit silly when you said, you know, when you mentioned how young he was. It's worth noting that that is actually a big factor that we do see amongst players in the draft.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to come back to. And for a bit more reference, if you're looking at players in their under 18 team, if someone's born in January and they obviously turn 18 in January, they've got 11 months of their sort of final years at under 18 football just to progress that body and to have some growth spurts or to put on some muscle and all that. Whereas you look at Philippou, he turned 18 in December. So he probably hasn't finished his growth spurt. He certainly hasn't finished putting on the muscle requirements for AFL. And when he gets that body right for the rigors of AFL, it will be scary. I mean, he's got such skill and poise and determination at the moment. He will be working his backside off to really get the most out of himself as early as possible. So St Kilda should be very excited for what's ahead.
Yep, absolutely. Now, looking at some individual players, I'll go to a player that I think is ready to take the next step. And I was excited about him towards the end of last year. I tried to pinch him off you in our Supercoach draft, but you didn't want to trade him for Paddy Dow. Surprise, surprise. But I think by all reports, he's killing it this preseason, and there's a few more eyes on him now, and that's Marcus Windhager, a young, bullish midfielder in that St Kilda midfield that I think realistically is pretty weak across the board. I think he and Jack Steele are a pretty ferocious duo to come up against. And I just really like what I saw last year. He's got the kind of game where I can't see him really not being a good player for them in the years to come. All the signs for me pointed to what is going to be a very good AFL career. And it's good because looking at the list, I don't love the young talent coming through. You know, they've got Naziah Wanganeen-Millara, who, you know, could be anything. I still don't really know where what to think of him, but I think he's definitely got potential. But then, you know, Nick Caulfield coming back from injury could be one. Ben Padden coming back from injury could be one. So there's a few names you could throw, but Windhager was the standout for my eyes.
Yeah, I think looking back at St Kilda, their 2020 draft was actually an incredible crop. They got Naziah Wanganeen-Millara in their first round pick, and then they had two players tied to their next generation academy in Machido Owens and Marcus Windhager for having either been a First Nations having a First Nations parent or having a parent born overseas. St Kilda were able to match any bids on those last two players, and Marcus Windhager was a slider in his draft year because he had a back injury in his under 18 season, so he couldn't finish out like the rest of his peers were, and he did slide to in the 40s or even 50s, and St Kilda obviously said yes because he's on their list, but I think he's performing far better than what people pegged him for, given his draft pick. But he had all the talent to be a first-round draft pick in his draft year if he wasn't tied to a tied to the Next Generation Academy at St Kilda. And you're looking at his strengths, and he's just got such power. And I don't know if you want to talk about that more.
I mean, I think it speaks for itself, really. I think, I'm excited to see how he goes. And he really does look like a mini Jack Steele in ways, in terms of just that strength that he brings and that just ferocity for the footy. It's really good to watch, and you can't help but sort of root for a player like that. Looking at moving on to some players under pressure, I've got two players I want to mention. I'll start off with Tim Membry. Now, he's a very well-loved player at St Kilda. He's been there for a long time, kicked a lot of goals. But I think the pressure really now does sit on his shoulders with Max King missing footy.
He's currently injured at the moment, so that's going to be interesting as well.
Membry's injured now. Oh, well, there you go. I missed the boat on that one. But I think when he does get right, or if he does get right, you know, being that leader in the forward line, there's pressure on him. And I think his goal, I could be wrong, but his goal output hasn't really been enough in my eyes to warrant being maybe a number one target going forward. So he's one player that I think's under pressure, assuming he's on the field. I should have, maybe when I took my notes, I just completely missed that. But the second player I will mention, and I think this is another one who is injured as well, but he's not going to be injured for the whole season, and that's Zach Jones. He's a guy who I thought had a really great start to the year last season, and then come after the buys, he was sort of falling out of the team a little bit. He, a bit like Windhager and Steele, you know, goes really hard at the footy, but he just lets himself down in terms of some silly decisions with the ball. He doesn't understand that he needs to slow down sometimes. I think something that like Mitch Robinson was sort of faulted for in his career. And Zach Jones, I think if he can't really get a game in that St Kilda midfield, well, I don't really know what the next step for him is. I don't see how he's in other teams' best midfields if he can't get into St Kilda's. What are your thoughts on those players?
Yeah, just looked up now. Tim Memories has had some minor knee surgery, so not sure how long he'll be out for, but St Kilda's key forward stocks are at crisis point where they might even need it. Zane Cordy in their forward line, which is very uninspiring given Max King's also out. But yeah, Zach Jones, he's in a bit of trouble, I think, because there's some young players that are coming up really hungry to play some senior football, and Zach Jones's form doesn't warrant him a guaranteed spot in the best 22. So we're hoping that Zach Jones can get over his injury or recover from off-season surgery and to play a key part, because he's a very unique type of player, Zach Jones. He's got incredible power and bursts of speed from stoppages, so he's unique compared to Jack Steeles, who are a bit slower around the ball, but you know, Marcus Windhager plays exactly like Zach Jones, so a fit Windhager has more upside than maybe a fit Zach Jones does moving forward under Ross Lyon.
Absolutely. It's going to be an interesting watch. I think St Kilda will be somewhat of an interesting watch this season. Hopefully, positively interesting. Hopefully not negatively. But I'm going to be optimistic for them, I think. I'm going to look positive. I'm going to say that they might be able to push for an eighth, but we'll see. Do you have any final comments on the Saints before we move on to the Swans?
Yeah, I think whether or not St Kilda make finals, I think Ross the boss will have a very positive influence in the direction the club is going for. You can't discount that Ross Lyon has made 3 grand finals in his coaching career. Obviously, he hasn't got the final flag, but he's able to build lists and that cohesion in at teams or in squads to really push deep into finals. It is early days in Ross's rebuild, so I have a lot of faith in him and the coaching staff around him, and it will be interesting. I can imagine they might take a scalp or two. But moving on to Sydney.
Yeah, so we'll look at the Swans now, and quite a pretty, I'd say it's a very uneventful off-season in terms of the list changes. They brought in one player with AFL experience, and that's Aaron Francis. I don't think Aaron Francis is a superstar by any means, but you know, he's probably a guy who will add a little bit of something to the depth of Sydney's backline. Whether he plays or not, I'm not sure. I probably don't think he does at this stage. He might play his way into the team if he gets into some good form. There's definitely opportunity there, I'd say. But yeah, just a handy depth player to bring in. Outside of that, I think they had the final pick of the first round of the draft, or maybe the first of the second, and they picked up Jacob Constanti. But otherwise, there's no real names of note coming into the team and leaving. Well, there was the obvious retirement of Josh Kennedy, superstar of the club, one of my personal favourite players to watch. And then James Bell, Sam Naismith, Barry O'Connor, Colin O'Riordan, Ben Ronk, the debutant who kicked seven, Callum Sinclair and Lewis Taylor. So I don't think they're very major ins or outs. Obviously, Kennedy's a big player to go out, but he was on the outs anyway last season. So, yeah, pretty uneventful. What do you think?
Yeah, very quiet off-season for Sydney. Obviously, didn't lose any players of note in a trade or anything like that. Josh Kennedy, obviously a big out for them, moving forward with his leadership and inside grunt work that he provided for St Kilda for Sydney over all these years. But in their ins, you know, Aaron Francis isn't going to take the spot of a team that made the grand final, and you've got the McCartan brothers and Dane Rampey. There's going to be question marks on whether Aaron Francis will even play a game at Sydney, if I'm honest. But I think Sydney in the draft did really well getting Jacob Constanti, a small forward, arguably one of the best in the open draft, and then Cooper Vickery as well, a very very Sydney type defender, very got that blood culture, I guess you could say, in terms of hard worker and looks very fierce in the contest. But yeah, very uneventful off season.
Yeah, definitely. The one thing though that I think will keep Sydney going this season, and I'll tie this in with my prediction, is, you know, we talk about like all the teams in the top eight or the top eight contenders getting better. I think Sydney are getting better, but not because of who they're bringing in, but because of how good their young players on the list are. And they've all just been so exciting to watch. And I think the way they get better is through their improvement, which will just, I think, come naturally to most of them. My general prediction for them, though, is I do think that they might fall outside the top four. I've got them in still very much firmly in the eight. I've got them in the fifth to eighth range, definitely thinking on the higher end of that bracket. Last season, they surprised me. I didn't expect them to be as good as they were, and I don't think I was alone in thinking that. But I do think they do come back just a little bit. But they will definitely be aiming for top four after what was such an exciting 2022 season.
Yeah, I think how Sydney have gone about constructing their list is incredible. I think the names of Kinnear Beetson and Simon Dalrymple, their list manager and recruiting staff, have done an incredible job. Yeah. Getting such high quality players, whether it's via the draft or whether it's access to them via their academies. You know, their academy system the last few years have brought in Mills, Heaney, Goulden. They've also had Braden Campbell. Nick Blakey was a father-son pick or an academy pick, I'm not sure. But, you know, having those five players you don't need a pick is just incredible. And then also having McDonald's, Logan McDonald's, as well. Such a high draft pick with such high potential. I think they just keep going up, just given just their age demographics and that ongoing improvement. Who do you think are some key players to take the next step?
Yeah, so we've mentioned pretty much all of the players I'm going to mention in the next two segments, actually, just then. The first player, and this is the player I'm most bullish on, I'm such a big fan of this guy, and I can't wait to see him take the league by storm, and that's Errol Goulden. I think he actually wasn't getting near enough credit last season for how good he was in the Sydney team. Definitely was probably getting overshadowed by some guys who, I can't believe I'm saying this, but might have been a bit more flashy, a bit more exciting, just more visible in the big games. But Errol Goulden, to me, is just such a strong talent coming through their system. Whether he plays wing, whether he plays as a small, high, half forward, on the ball, I just think he's so clean with the footy, and he showed it in his first season how good he was, and I don't think he took a step back at all last season. I just think he was just building, 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 and he's going to explode going into 2023. So that's my big player to watch for 2023. The other one who I think could be really exciting, and I think in just another season of learning the game and the role that he's playing, is going to have a big positive impact on his game, and that's Nick Blakey. He's a weird player to watch off the half back line. He's fast, he's quick, he looks like he's gonna break bones as he moves and goes into tackles. Like, I've never really seen a player quite like it, but I think the thing that was maybe his biggest knock was he was just a little bit too erratic at times. He didn't understand when to go and when to stay, which often you do see amongst young players. I think this season, though, he does, again, improve. He probably makes better decisions. You know, this whole team, there's so many players you could have in this category. You know, Ollie Florent was another one I kind of had.
Chad Warner?
Yeah, he can't get much better. But Ollie Florent was probably the only other player who I was maybe going to mention, just because I think he's sort of just been overlooked given how good some of these other young talented players are. But he's another one off the halfback or up on a wing maybe that could, again, take another step. What do you think? You've already mentioned a couple.
Yeah, I think half of Sydney's team or best 22 could be put under players to take the next step. But I do love Errol Goulden and Nick Blakey, both key cogs to what Sydney are looking forward to the future. Errol Goulden is such an exciting player, and I think he's overlooked at how smart of a footballer he is. And when he's got ball in hand, kicking into forward 50, good luck any defender stopping that, because he's got such clean skills and decision-making that he's going to carve a few teams up in the near future. And then Nick Blakey, yeah, like you said, he's a very funny player to watch. He's so fast for a player that's 196 centimeters or above. I love his fearlessness when he has the ball. Sometimes that cooks him, but with that break of speed that he has and that fearlessness in the way he plays, he's very fun to watch. I'm excited for Chad Warner. I think his grand final heroics, even though Sydney got done badly, he couldn't have done anything more, and, you know, God help the rest of the competition this year, because I'll be putting some money on him to win the Brownlow, if I'm honest. But moving on, who are some players that you believe are under pressure?
Yeah, so these are guys who I could have very easily put into the other category of taking the next step. I've put them in this category, though, because I think there's a little bit more pressure on them than the others to improve. So it's a little different to how I've done it with some of the other teams that I've spoken about in the past. The first player being Braden Campbell. Now, he was a pick 5 or pick 6 in his draft a few years back. He's, you know, was touted as being one of the best kicks we've ever seen coming out of junior footy. People were saying he was going to be a top 3 kick the second he walked into the AFL. So there was a lot of hype about him, and he hasn't really lived up to it yet. I'm very optimistic that he will get it to click, and he will become the player we expected him to be. But I do think he does need to show some good improvement this season, just to, I guess, restore the faith in him a little bit. If he can get it right, though, I mean, it's just a clean sweep of Sydney recruits doing well, that's for sure. The other player, and I think this guy's a superstar in the making, the only reason I've got him under pressure is because I think he has a big role to play in the Sydney forward line, and that is Logan McDonald, briefly mentioned earlier by you, Dieter. The reason I think he's under pressure is because Buddy is getting older. I don't think Buddy can play as well as he's been playing for much longer. And I do think that McDonald should start to become one, maybe not the number one option, but get closer to being the number one option going forward for Sydney. He's huge. He's an absolute monster of a player. Got an incredible size about him. Great strength. I think he's got all the tools to just sort of take over from Buddy. I do really think, though, for Sydney's sake and his sake, we do need to be seeing that start this year for sure.
Yeah, both exciting players, but there are some question marks over maybe their form in 2022 and what that might look like in 2023. Braden Campbell, I was just thinking of it while you were talking about him. I don't know where his role is. Mm. Is he a halfbacker? Is he a winger? Is he a outside midfielder? Is he a half forward? I think Sydney really need to settle him down in one position. We saw last year that he was used as a sub, which is probably not a good reflection of him and his abilities, but also it might just represent how strong Sydney were last year. And you know, he was a top 4 or 5 or 6 pick in his draft year. I think he's got all the tools to sort of showcase why he was touted as that high draft pick. I think he really needs to work on putting a bit more muscle on him, not too much, but enough to undergo the rigors of tackling and the physicality that the highest level sort of takes. And then Logan McDonald, I think this is going to be a really important year. Like you said, Franklin's at the end of his legs, Sam Reed's at the end of his legs, and I don't think Logan McDonald should be handed a role in the side of the best 22, and he really needs to fight for it. And the worry is that he also has Hayden McLean and Joel Amati sort of nipping at his heels as that forward ruck relief for Tom Hickey. Oh, and even Peter Adams as well, I should say. So you've got three key forwards, or three players that could play key forwards, that are nipping at your heels. And I think Logan McDonald, given his age and his potential, he really needs to take a big step up. He was dropped for the grand final against Geelong, and I hope that was a wake-up call that even though you're a fourth pick in the draft, you really do need to take onus on how you go in your training in the preseason and to also perform in the in season. So I think we're hoping that both these players are able to get on the track and play some good footy in 2023. But yeah, some key question marks over those two and whether or not they're able to perform this year.
I will finish off our analysis of Sydney with one question for you, and I'll then give my opinion. Are Sydney capable of making the grand final again in 2023?
On paper, I think they are, but history shows that any club that loses in the grand final by more than 50 or so points has a down year. Given Sydney's age profile and demographics, I don't know if that hinders or impacts the confidence of the young squad, or it makes them really hungry to improve. So I personally think that they can with the list that they've got, but the teams around them have also gotten better. So maybe they peaked a bit too early last year and made the grand final, but I think they've got the list to really push teams from this year onwards for the flag.
Yeah, I think they're probably just going to miss a grand final. If it goes right, I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but if they did make it. But yeah, I think this year will be tough for them to make the granny for sure. That being said, they might not make it this year, but in the next couple seasons, they could be a regular in the final game of the season, given how good these young, exciting players are for the Swans. Well, I think that will wrap up this episode. We've talked about the Saints, the Swans, two pretty different teams, two teams that I guess, you know, could be playing finals footy if things go right for them. St Kilda, you know, would be hoping for a lot to go right, I'd say. But either way, exciting seasons ahead. I'm excited because we've got one more season preview to go. Our next episode will be looking at the Dogs and the Eagles, our final 2023 season preview. So make sure you check that out if those are teams that you are interested in or support. We've really appreciated all the listeners on these season previews. Make sure you do check out our Twitter and interact with us. We love hearing your thoughts, questions, comments, even if they're a bit different to ours. That's great to hear. Otherwise, I will be excited to talk about your boys, the Dogs, in our next episode, Dieter. I hope you all have a good one and see you next time.
See you next time.